Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the Christian Passover, God's New Testament replacement for the Old Testament type. The old Passover is gone. No more lambs, no more goats, no more blood, no more sacrifice. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. His one perfect sacrifice, true God and true man, his sacrifice of himself, has made satisfaction for all the sins of mankind. His blood shed on the cross is the redemption price already paid to rescue all men out of their slavery to sin, protecting all who believe in him from condemnation and from death. All the Passover lambs that ever came before Jesus foreshadowed him and his sacrifice as the true Passover lamb. But while all those lambs were slaughtered, had their blood drained, and then remained dead, Christ, our Passover, was slaughtered, had his blood drained, and came back to life. But even this was foreshadowed in the Old Testament Passover lamb. Do you remember what God commanded Moses about the Passover lamb, what they were to do with it? After they had sacrificed it, they were to take its blood and paint their door frames, and then they were to eat the Passover lamb. And whatever was left over, whether it was flesh left over, or bones, or entrails, none of it was to remain. They were to burn it all up so that nothing was left to rot. There was to be no corpse, no remains of the Passover lamb to be thrown out or left decaying in the ground. It was all to be either eaten up or burned up so that its carcass should never be found or see decay, so that no one could go around saying, look, there is the grave of the Passover lambs with their dead flesh and bones rotting. What did the psalmist say about the coming Christ? Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in the grave, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. The Passover lamb pointed to Christ even in this. After Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us, no remains could be found. There was no grave where his dead flesh and bones were rotting away, because his tomb was only occupied until the morning of the third day. The women who had followed Jesus during his ministry and served him during his ministry, who had been there and watched him die, who had been there and watched his body hastily wrapped up and rushed into Joseph's tomb before sunset on Good Friday, rested on the Sabbath, even as the flesh and bones of Christ rested on the Sabbath. But they hurried to the tomb on Sunday morning. They went looking for Jesus' body to take proper care of his corpse. But they didn't find it, did they? No one ever has, and no one ever will. Not because it was burned up like the Old Testament Passover lambs, but because Christ, our Passover, was raised from the dead. As he said beforehand, there was never any doubt. Jesus had foretold it Isaiah had foretold it, the Psalms had foretold it, even the Passover lamb pointed ahead to the resurrection of Christ, our Passover, whose body would never see decay. Now, do you think it would change your life if you could see Jesus alive again after he was dead, as those first disciples did? Do you think seeing him would compel the world to believe in him? I tell you, it would not. As Jesus himself foretold, if people will not listen to Moses and the prophets, that is, to the Holy Scriptures that tell of the Christ, they will surely not believe, even if they see someone raised from the dead. What changes a person's life, what brings people to faith in Christ, our Passover, is not seeing Jesus. It's hearing Jesus, learning from Jesus. Because while you can't see him, not yet, you can most certainly hear him. His voice can still be heard on earth in the ministry of the Word, where Christ appointed his gospel to be proclaimed. He assured his apostles, "Lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age, and he who hears you hears me." And even though you'll never find the body of Christ in any grave or roaming about the earth somewhere, there is still a place where Christ has appointed his body to be found. In the Holy Supper he left behind for us, for his church to celebrate, where the risen Lord Christ says of the bread, "This is my body, which is given for you." And where he says of the wine, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." In Holy Communion, you are as much in the presence of the risen Lord Christ as were his first disciples who saw him and touched him and ate with him. Now the risen Christ calls out through the ministry of the Word, "Repent and believe the good news. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins." For Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed, delivered up to death for our sins, and raised to life for our justification. He lives to bestow the forgiveness of sins that he purchased with his blood. He lives to reconcile sinners with God through faith in his name. He lives to shield people from sin, death, and the devil. He lives to raise up our bodies after we die and to give eternal life to all believers. Since that is true, dear Christians, since Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed and then raised from the dead, you have nothing to fear from sin, death, or the devil, because God has united you to the death of Christ through holy baptism. And if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, writes the apostle, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. And since that is true, how will you live? You are to live with faith, hope, and love. You are to keep the feast, as St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the feast of Passover. Not the old Jewish Passover, but the new Christian one. The feast of Easter, the Christian Passover. You are to keep it, not by celebrating Easter once a year, although we are very glad to do that too. No, you are to keep it, as St. Paul writes, by purging out the old leaven. You are to keep it, he says, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. If the Jews were to rid their homes and sweep them clean of all leaven during the week that followed the Passover, during that feast called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, how much more shouldn't we Christians rid our homes and our lives of the leaven of malice and wickedness? And not just for a week, but for the rest of our lives. You truly are unleavened, St. Paul says. You Christians, through faith in Christ Jesus, are truly counted by God as sinless, righteous, and holy. So let us live that way, with the power of God's Holy Spirit. Let us keep the feast, not once a year, but in the continual celebration of Easter. For Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us once for all. But his crucified body was not left to decay. Christ, our Passover, was raised from the dead once for all and now lives continually. Let us, his holy church, celebrate his resurrection continually by hearing his word, by receiving his sacraments, and by leading unleavened lives here below, until we are raised to eternal life with him above. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.